On Wednesday, January the 13th, 1993, my father handed me a letter that read as follows. Dear Bruce, as we talked this morning before you had left for school about my desire to write to you a letter, the reason for writing a letter is, in my mind, quite clear. Letters, although read now, can be folded and stored, then taken out and reread at a later date. The ideas contained in that letter are not lost, but can become fresh again through the rereading of that letter. I love you very much. And maybe as a father, in some ways, I am failing you because I'm not doing the things that I should. Oh, often I feel that when I want to talk about something or I want to be serious, I see your eyes roll back in your head and I sense that you feel, here he goes again. But I want to tell you these things because I want to try to prepare you for life as you grow up, so that when you get to a certain point, it's not a surprise and it hasn't been something that, well, if Dad knew, why didn't he tell me? Why didn't he help to show me? My love for you goes to the point where I want to show and tell and help all that I can. And so with this in mind, please take what is said in this letter and ask God to use it to bless your life and always, always that you'll trust and serve Him most importantly. From there, my dad proceeded to outline very practical wisdom. Practical wisdom like the kind of wisdom we find in the book of Proverbs. He told me that a driver's license is a privilege and not a right, and that if I follow the laws and do what is right, I should be able to maintain that privilege because I would be following the dictates of the province that issued that license. He went on to talk about finances, saving and spending, and making sure to spend less than I made. He talked about falling in love and making sure not to be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. He warned me about homosexuality, lust, impurity, and a host of other sexual sins, quoting Hebrews 13, verse 14, "Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous." Dad's 9-page, single-spaced letter was written to prepare me for life. Those were his words. In fact, you may recall how he wanted me to ask God to use the contents of his letter to bless my life. Dad wanted me to have life. Abundant life, the way Jesus spoke of in John chapter 10 and verse 10. And if you are a dad here this Father's Day, I am sure that that is your desire too, that your children might have life, abundant life, life to the full. The question is, how can you help them to have that life? How can you best show and tell and help them the way that my father wanted to show and tell and help me to have life? Do you write a letter? If so, what do you put in that letter? Well, to help answer these questions, let me direct you to Proverbs chapter 4. You can find it beginning on page 529 of the Pew Bible. Proverbs chapter 4, and we will look at the entire chapter this morning. Hear, O sons, a father's instruction, and be attentive that you may gain insight. For I give you good precepts. Do not forsake my teaching. When I was a son with my father, tender, the only one in the sight of my mother, he taught me and said to me, Let your heart hold fast my words. Keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom. Get insight. Do not forget and do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will keep you. Love her, and she will guard you. The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom. And whatever you get insight. Prize her highly, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a graceful garland. She will bestow on you a beautiful crown. Hear, my son, and accept my words, that the years of your life may be many. I have taught you the way of wisdom. I have led you in the paths of uprightness. When you walk, your step will not be hampered, and if you run, you will not stumble. Keep hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of the evil. Avoid it. Do not go on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they cannot sleep unless they have done wrong. They are robbed of sleep unless they have made someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you crooked speech and put devious talk far from you. Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. Notice how King Solomon, in speaking to his sons, verse 1, focused on how they might have life. In verses 3 and 4, Solomon looks back to his own father's instruction of him, saying this: "When I was a son with my father, tender, the only one in the sight of my mother, he taught me and said to me, 'Let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments, and live.'" Later, in verse 13, he says, "Keep hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life." Still later, in verse 23, he says, "Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life." Do you want life? Do you want your sons and your daughters to have life? If so, Solomon says, then you want them to keep his father's commandments, verse 4, to keep hold of instruction, verse 13, and to keep your heart with all vigilance, verse 23. First, you want to keep Solomon's father's commandments, David's commandments. That's just easier, isn't it? Keep David's commandments. What are these commandments? Well, they are outlined for us in verses 5 to 9. Get wisdom, David said. That's the command, isn't it? Get wisdom. Get insight. Do not forget and do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will keep you. Love her, there's another commandment, and she will guard you. The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom. And whatever you get insight. Prize her highly. There's another commandment. And she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a graceful garland. She will bestow on you a beautiful crown. The commandments of Solomon's father are commandments to get and to prize wisdom. Do you want to live life more abundantly? If so, get wisdom and prize wisdom. Two distinct word pictures are used here in conjunction with these commands. The first is a commercial image. The second is a romantic relational image. Literally, the word get in the command to get wisdom means to buy or to purchase. Purchase wisdom. Even if it costs you everything you have, purchase wisdom. That is the sense of verse 7 when we read, whatever you get insight. It is a call to buy wisdom no matter what the price is. In fact, the NIV renders it this way, though it cost all you have, get understanding. It's like the pearl of great price or the treasure that was hidden in the field that Jesus spoke of in his parables. You will remember how on finding one pearl of great value, Jesus said that a man went and sold all that he had and bought it. And yet we know that wisdom is not for sale. You can't go to the store and buy wisdom. How much is wisdom this week? Oy, supply chain shortages. Man, it's $150 for wisdom this week. And I got to come back again next week, and who knows, like gas prices will probably go up again. You can't buy wisdom. But you can get it. And it will cost you something. As Ray Ortland puts it, if you want God's wisdom, it will cost you. It will cost you all your preconceived ideas about how life is supposed to work. And so, it might cost you relationships with family and friends. It might cost you a position of status in the workplace. It might cost you contracts and associates and even maybe your own sense of self-satisfaction for a time. Pursuing wisdom will cost you, but it is worth it. She will keep you, verse 6. She will guard you. She will place on your head a graceful garland, verse 9. Now the image has shifted, isn't it? Wisdom is no longer an object I must purchase. It is now a woman I must prize. Remember, Solomon is talking to his sons here. This beautiful lady he speaks of now is meant to get their attention. She will exalt you, verse 8. She will honor you. She will bestow on you a beautiful crown. Whatever it takes then to win this woman's affections, it's worth it. Boys, pursue wisdom the way you would pursue a beautiful young woman. Prize her highly, verse 8. Cherish her, the NIV says. Love her, verse 6. Do not forsake her. Embrace her. In other words, value wisdom. That's the focal point of both of Solomon's images. If you want to have life, abundant life, then you ought to value wisdom. You ought to treasure it above all earthly goods, being willing to spend everything you had, as it were, to get it. And you want to prize it above any other relationship you might have with any other man or woman here on earth. In fact, Solomon's father David said that the beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom. Now, that's interesting, isn't it? Because to this point in the book of Proverbs, the beginning of wisdom has been the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord that leads to trembling, that leads to astonishment, that leads to awe, to reverence, to devotion, to trust, to worship, and then finally to life. Why are we now talking differently here? Because what Solomon's father has to say is even more basic. You can't take the first step toward wisdom, the step of fearing the Lord, unless you are first motivated to take that step. And so you need to have an inner compulsion to get wisdom before you will even take the first step to get it, to and then fear the Lord. And so, dads, let me encourage you to encourage your sons this Father's Day to get wisdom, to treasure wisdom, to value wisdom above all earthly goods and all earthly relationships. And as you do so, dads, please encourage them as well to choose wisdom each and every day. To quote Solomon, keep hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Verse 13. Although this verse, verse 13, speaks of wisdom again as a woman, guard her, she is your life. The key metaphor in this second paragraph is that of the way. Verse 11 speaks of the way of wisdom and the paths of uprightness. Verse 14 speaks of the path of the wicked and the way of the evil. Verse 18 mentions the path of the righteous. And verse 19, the way of the wicked. As Ray Ortlund says, we face only two alternatives: the wise way or the evil way. In our hobbit-like timidity, we might prefer a compromise. We might prefer three ways to choose from: a rotten life of folly over at one extreme, a super-duper life of wisdom over at the other extreme, but in the middle, a half-decent life of mediocrity if we don't mind settling for it. But God is saying that there are only two ways: a gloomy disaster of a life without wisdom, and a bright success of a life with his wisdom. Therefore, God's wisdom is not an optional extra. She is your life. Verse 13. What does the path metaphor tell us? It tells us that life is a journey, that there is no quick fix, and that we take it one step at a time with constant, moment-by-moment recommitments to the way of Christ. It might help to think of these two paths as one road. If you are on the way of wisdom, you are on that road headed east, let's say. But if you are on the same road headed west, then you are on the way of the wicked, because you're not heading toward wisdom anymore. And here's the thing: you can always turn around and start heading in the opposite direction. It's just a quick turn of the heel, isn't it? And so we must choose moment by moment, day by day, to stay on the path of the righteous. We need to keep hold of instruction, not let her go, guard her, stay on the right path, because she is life. Notice the warning that Solomon provides in verses 14 to 17. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of the evil. Avoid it. Do not go on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they cannot sleep unless they have done wrong. They are robbed of sleep unless they have made someone stumble. for they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. Brothers and sisters, listen. If you turn away from the way of wisdom and begin to walk down the way of the wicked, then beware, because evil is compulsive. That's what these verses say. You won't be able to sleep unless you have made someone stumble. Jesus put it this way: everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. John 8, verse 34. And we see it in our world, don't we? Whether it is compulsive gambling, or repeated outbursts of rage, or pornography addictions, or drinking binges, once the engine gets started, once you start down the dark path, forever might it dominate your destiny. Thank you, Yoda. Although you might notice that I changed his quote, Star Wars fans, not forever will it dominate your destiny, but forever might it, can it dominate your destiny. I did that because of the gospel of grace. Even though you start down the dark path, it doesn't need to dominate your destiny. Your destiny can still be heaven. It's about repentance and faith, turning and believing that Jesus died to pay in full for your sins, so that you might know the promise of everlasting life. That being said, we need to pay careful attention to the warning here, don't we? We scarcely understand the dark powers we unleash inside ourselves when we turn one step away from the path of Christ's wisdom. And so the abundant life consists not only in treasuring and getting wisdom, but in keeping it, choosing it each and every day, staying on the path of the righteous, staying on the way of wisdom. The path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day, verse 18. That's a path you want to be on. That's life. Do you like the feel of the sun on your face at noonday? That's life. Stay on the path of the righteous. If you want life, then you need to get wisdom, no matter the cost. You need to choose wisdom each and every day, and you need to guard the wisdom that you have with all of what you are. As verse 23 says, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Keep David's command to get wisdom no matter the cost. Keep hold of instruction, choosing it every day, and keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. This call to keep your heart is the first in a string of calls focusing on different parts of the human anatomy. A more literal reading of verses 24 to 27 would be this: put away from you a crooked mouth, and put devious lips far from you. Let your eyes look directly forward, and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. Mouth, lips, eyes, feet. Wisdom requires vigilance in the whole person. We sing this to our kids. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Oh, be careful, little tongue, what you say. And I'm butchering it now. But you know the song, right? Be careful, little hands, what you do. Be careful, little feet, where you go. For the Father up above is looking down in love. So be careful, little eyes, ears, tongues, hands, feet. All of you, what you do with yourself. But of course, most of this anatomy list focuses on behavior. Where you go with your feet, what you do with your hands, what you say with your mouth. behind our behavior, though, lies our hearts, from which, verse 23 says, flow the springs of life. If we want life, abundant life, then we need to make sure that our hearts are in the right place. Guard your hearts. How? By keeping wisdom within them. Look again at verses 20 to 22. My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. The Father's sayings, his instruction, his insight, his wisdom is life, provided that that wisdom is kept within your heart. As Ray Ortlund observes, life does not flow from the outside in, as our culture would have us believe. If I only have the latest this or the latest that, if I'm only associated with this person, or that, then I will have life. It does not flow from the outside in. It flows from the inside out. We need our hearts continuously filled with the ever-fresh life of Christ by faith in the gospel. Indeed, Ortlund says, I think this one who incarnated wisdom for us had verse 23 in mind when he said this, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. From your heart flows life. You see how he says, I think Jesus was thinking of this verse when he said that. In other words, we will not lose our way on the journey of life if we will keep coming to Jesus and drinking in his acceptance, his forgiveness, his promises, his love. Everything else flows out from deep in there. Whoever believes in me, Jesus says, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And so an even more basic question than do you want life is, do you believe in Jesus? Because if you do, you have life. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, Jesus says. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. How? Jesus answers that question in the very next breath. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Have you come to trust in the shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep? The crucified and risen Lord who invites the thirsty to come to him and find life. Have you trusted in him? No matter how far you have walked down the path of wickedness, you can turn to him today and believe. Get wisdom. Get Christ. Choose him each and every day. Hold on to him with all vigilance and thereby keep your hearts the fountain of life. Get Christ. Get Christ. Get Christ. Solomon began his father-son talk by looking back to his own father's instruction to him. When I was a son with my father, tender, the only one in the sight of my mother, he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments and live. Looking back this past week over my dad's letter to me, I saw that he too wanted to pass on the wisdom of the ages, citing things that he had learned from his father. And oh, how I want to pass the wisdom of the ages on to my sons and to my daughter. How can I do that? How can you do that, fathers, if that is your heart too? And I pray it is. We can pass on the wisdom of the ages by calling our children to keep our commandments, to treasure wisdom, and to get it no matter the cost, to choose wisdom each and every day, and to guard the wisdom that they have with all of who they are. Or better yet, to treasure Christ and to pursue Him no matter the cost, to choose Him and His ways each and every day, and to drink deep of Him so that out of their hearts will flow rivers of living water. In short, fathers, you want to tell your children this. If you want life, you want wisdom. And if you want wisdom, you want Christ.